Welcome to Rhema for Today.
But I mean, everything about my flesh recoiled from it. Everything about my natural man, the outward man, and my own natural human thinking and mind, I did not want to do it. And for that reason, when we got right down to it, I was saying to the Lord, I didn't want to trust that inward witness that I knew I had and she had. And I kept praying and took some days to fast even, now before this election came off, because see, they had to announce it over 2 weekends and so on to be legal, you know, and so on. And I fasted 2 or 3 days, I think over into the third day. I wanted the Lord to move some kind of a supernatural way.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. Today you'll hear more from Kenneth E. Hagin on his teaching, How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God series, Volume 1, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
So let me ask you this question now. From the natural, from the physical, from the mental, naturally speaking, do you want to go back there?
Oh, Lord, no.
Well, I said that couldn't be you then, could it? See, a better way to say the flesh, the natural man, the outward man, that couldn't be, you see? Because naturally, you don't want to do it. Well, then you're not going to be thinking about doing something you don't want to do. I saw she had the inward witness just like I did. I said, I'll tell you what, let's do now. I'm convinced that that's God's leading us that way. Let's don't. It'll have to be God that'll open it up to get us back there. Let's just let him do it now. And so we waited a couple of months, and God opened the door. And I was invited because the pastor had left, and I was up in that part of the country to preach there. And so I preached. How long are you going to be here, they said. I said, well, I'm going to be here several days. Would you preach a week for us? I said, well, yeah, we'll. Just 15 miles away from where I was staying, visiting friends or loved ones because they were ill. And so I preached. They said, could you preach another week? Well, I said, I'll see. And I phoned back down my way and got somebody to take care of the church for me. And I stayed another week. And the board said, Brother Hagin, would you be interested in coming back here to pastor? I didn't tell them I had something from God. I just said, well, I might be. Well, the board said, we've all been talking, and I'll tell you, we're all 100% for you. And people of the church are coming. People of the church are coming. And they're saying, well, you know, what if Brother Hagin take this church again? If he will, let's vote him back in. I still didn't tell them. They don't know till this day. I never have told them that God sent me back. Never have told them what I had in my spirit. You don't always tell everything you have. I said, well, after all, they have to vote on. I'll tell you what I'll do. Just go ahead if they want to and let them vote on, and I'll tell you afterwards. Well, they made all the proper announcements like they ought to be made at a regular business meeting. And so they voted. I got every vote but two. He didn't expect to get it that well. But one of the deacons, he never was with them when he talked to him, and I asked one of them, I said, what about him? Oh, they said, he's not for you. I said, why isn't he for me? Oh, one of these fellows said, I asked him, what's wrong, Brother Hagin? And he said, oh, now this is his opinion, not mine, you understand. This deacon said, I think Brother Hagin is the greatest and the best preacher that ever preached in this pulpit. He's the best preacher I've ever heard. He wasn't there, you see, when I pastored 2 years before. But he said, I'll tell you one thing about it. He said, I just know from the way he preaches that if he's elected pastor here, I can't run it anymore. Well, he was exactly right. Now, get this. So I got every vote except two. And after it was announced that I'm elected pastor, if I'll take it, I never told him yet I'd take it. But I got up, accepted the pastor, didn't tell him what anything I had from God. And this deacon got up while I was talking, smiled and shook hands with me, wasn't mad at me, and said, to me, he looked at me and laughed and winked and said, well, they run it over me. They voted you in when I was against you. And he left and never did come back. And he said, you know, afterwards, you know, he'd meet me on the street and shake hands with me and pat me back. I said, boy, I'll tell you, I like you. He said, you got the goods. He said, you know, I wasn't even saved. I just made up my mind I'm going down there and fool those people, get them to vote me in as deacon. And they did. See, they had no discernment, you know. And they voted him in. And then his wife came to me and told me afterwards, that same night after he left the building, she said, Brother Hagin, they were two no votes there. Of course, you know one of them was Wills, because he's already told you. Now, I had to write no. But I want you to know, because you see, he helped count the vote. And if there's not two no's in there, she said, when we got home, there would be hell to pay. He'd beat me up and cuss me out. Felt like that didn't need to be in anyway. See, after he nearly left, he knew he couldn't make it, so I was going to be there. And so so she said, I meant yes, but I had to write no on that slip of paper. Well, there's a little side story here. It don't pay to be a hypocrite. Are you listening? That dear man's wife was saved, all right. She came when she could and did the best she could. But the children are unsaved. They followed the daddy instead of her. Terrible how they turned out. One of the girls was like him. She saw in the home that he cussed and knocked his wife down. Had mad fits. So she got married, just 22 or 3 years old. But she had mad fits like her daddy and cussed and fired her husband, took a gun and killed him. I guess he's in penitentiary today. Of course, I know every one of them turned out bad. That's a little side thought, but sometimes some of these side journeys helped us as much as anything. We need to be sincere and honest before God and before our fellow man. Amen. Are you listening? Amen. For the seeds that we sow are going to bring forth a harvest. The harvest can be good or can be bad. Can be joyous or can be sad. But the harvest is coming. For it was not to sinners that the Spirit of God had the great apostle write, but it was to the church and Christians, that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. Well, now, here's what I'm starting to tell you. Said all that to get this to you. I didn't want, from the natural standpoint, needed my wife to go back there to that church. I'll be honest with you. Didn't want to move back to that town. Didn't want to live in that parsonage. Oh, I love people always. But I'm talking about in my heart, I want to obey God. But I mean, everything about my flesh recoiled from it. Everything about my natural man, the outward man, and my own natural human thinking and mind, I did not want to do it. And for that reason, when we got right down to it, I was saying to the Lord, I didn't want to trust that inward witness that I knew I had and she had. And I kept praying and took some days to fast even. Now, before this election came, of course, see, they had to announce it over 2 weekends and so on to be legal, you know, and so on. And I fasted 2 or 3 days, I think, over into the third day. I wanted the Lord to move some kind of a supernatural way. Of course, I'm only about 24 years old, you see, between the 23rd and 24th birthday. Then no one's to know now. But I want God to give me some kind of a witness. I mean, other than a witness, some kind of a word, or something, a tongued interpretation, or a prophecy, or just write it up in the sky. Go to that place. See, and I fasted and prayed. Remember about the third day of my fast, you know, I was on my knees just sort of bawling and squalling and begging because I didn't know any better, you know. Oh, dear God, you know, I just didn't want to trust, you know. And he just said to me, see, he also leads by an inward voice as well as an inward witness. And that inward voice said, get up in there and quit acting that way. See, it couldn't have been my own spirit of saying that. I wouldn't have said that. Said, get up from there. Well, I got up. Then I said, Lord, if you could just move here some way, some supernatural sign, you know, I'd just feel better about this. He said, you've got all I'm going to give you. You don't need any supernatural sign. You don't need any supernatural something writing in the sky. You don't need any tongues interpreting. You don't need any prophecy. You know on the inside of you what to do. Now do it. I said, okay, I will. Many times, friends, we are ignoring that inward witness, and we want something out here in the sense realm that can be dangerous, really. Let's learn that he leads primary, first of all, number one, by the inward witness. Amen. Now, I want to say it again. You'll find that being led by an inward witness is number one, or the primary way that God leads all of his children. Now, I stumbled over that seeking something else way back there then. 11 years ago, we came to Tulsa. We moved to Tulsa. I'd been here with a meeting 13 years ago. And I would come by here a lot of times going to meetings, different places to preach, because Brother Charlie Hazelton, he was an accountant. He kept my books for me at Evangelistic Association. So I'd bring him information. I'd buy my cars from Brother Lee Eller. He had a car, you know, used car, but he'd get new ones for me. Or if I needed tires, he'd get them for me, and so on. And I needed a tire, and I needed also to bring some information to Brother Hazelton. So we were staying over at the Ellers, and Lee said to me, said, Brother Hagin, you need to move to Tulsa. And said, I just got the very place for you. Well, I wasn't much interested in it, to tell you the truth about it, because... But anyway, he said, Brother Osborne's old office building over here on North Utica. He said, I saw his office manager the other day, and he said, Lee, sell that for us.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. We're offering Kenneth E. Hagin's 3-CD set entitled Jesus is Coming Again. Next is Pastor Kenneth Hagin's book entitled The Table That Speaks. Last but not least is Lynette Hagin's book, Hey God, Why Is It Taking So Long? All these items are for the special price of only $40. To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
Rhema Bible Training College, we're enrolling for the fall of 2026. And so you can go online and do that, or you can also come to our Rhema College weekend. That's April the 10th through the 12th. Right here on the Rhema USA campus, you'll attend classes, meet the dean and some other instructors, tour the campus,
yes,
a luncheon, worship night, job and housing, fun night, and of course, end the weekend by attending Rhema Bible Church there on Sunday morning. It's a wonderful weekend, and so we just invite you and encourage you to come and find out all about Rhema Bible
Training College. Go to rbtc.org and find out about it.
Monday, Kenneth E. Hagin will continue this powerful teaching. That's next week on Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. Have a great weekend.